Let's go into the word already. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision, with accuracy. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. At the end of today's meeting, our saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel 16. What happened in 3 days? What happened in 3 days? Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 13. Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 13. Now, look at this conversation very importantly and look at it carefully. Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, Philippi, right, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Hallelujah. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. Then he said unto them, but whom do you say, or whom say ye that I am? Hallelujah. Who say ye that I am, or whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art Christ, right? The Son of the living, what? Living God. Right? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Right? And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not what? Prevail. Now, it's a very important conversation to take note of as a believer. You know, you see the conversation of Jesus asking the people, who do people say that I am? You know, for Jesus to ask that question, you know, it's important, like we've taken note in our series on salvation, that God talks in rhetorics. What does rhetorical question mean? It means that a question or a question a lot of times that doesn't determine or require an answer. Are we together? So, for instance, when you hear God say, Adam, where art thou? That's a rhetorical question. Are we together? So we see that Jesus is asking somewhat of that kind of question. Permit me to use that for now. You know, we'll find out what that means towards the end of this teaching. You know, and he says, who do people say I am? Some say Jeremiah, some say Elias, some say you are the Son of living God and all of that. Abi? Then Peter answered. So Simon Peter answered. He says, Simon by Jonah. You know, and there's a lot of, you know, interesting conversations around those verses. And it looks like, you know, you hear someone say that Peter means rock. And because Peter is rock and Peter answered, Jesus now said, upon this rock, I will build my church. God could not have built his church upon Peter, who denied him 3 times. Are we together? God cannot put the total existence of his church on a man like that. Hallelujah. Now, when I say a man like that, remember he did mighty things. Yeah, so when I say a man like that, I'm not really allowing your mind to see, you know, the frail or the questionable aspect of his life. But really, God will only build his church on himself. So we're trying to examine what does Jesus mean, or what did Peter mean? Okay, yeah, so we want to examine what do these things mean. Now look at Matthew's Gospel 28 quickly. I want all of us to pay attention in this series, because I'm going to be saying a lot of interesting things that I have said over the last few months and years, but it will come in straight today. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28. I'm going to be saying a lot of tricky things that will make us reason through scriptures. You know, I want us to have a broad reasoning of scriptures. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Bible says that Jesus came and said unto them, all power is given unto me. The word there, power, is the word authority. Yeah. In heaven and earth. It now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. The word there, teach all nations, is the word that speaks about making people disciples or making people students. So it says, go ye into the world, or go ye therefore and teach. That is, make people disciples. Right? He now says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. So we see that there's an instruction of Jesus to the apostles to go into disciples to make people students. Let me say it better. There's an instruction for Jesus to the disciples to go into the world to make people disciples. So it means that the disciples are with a long-term goal to be disciples. Did you get that? Yeah, the disciples are, they have a long-term goal to be disciples. So a disciple says to discipler, or let me say it this way, a discipler, Jesus, says to his disciples that they should be disciples to disciples. Let me say it better. A teacher says to his students that the students should become teachers to other students. I want to get, look at Ephesians 4 quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Ephesians 4, verse 9. Remember, Jesus the teacher says to students to be teachers, yeah, to other students. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. It says, now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Yeah, what happened in 3 days? I went together, right? He now says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, Ephesians 4, 9, right? That he might fill all things. Now look at verse 11. He says, and he gave some apostles. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. I went together. Now, if you have a good Bible, you will see that there's only one psalm in that verse that is not in italics. Right? Check it again. Yeah? You will see that the only psalm that is in proper, you know, font is the first psalm. The remaining psalms are either in brackets or they are in italics. So if yours is not in bracket or italics, it means that, what did I say at first? If you have a good Bible, I did not say you don't have a good Bible. I just said if you have a good Bible, you will see psalm in italics. Now, the word here, psalm, is the Greek word M-E-N. It's a Greek word M-E-N, and it's a word that speaks about certainly, truly. That's the meaning of that word. The word implies certainly, truly, or indeed. Yeah? M-E-N. It says certainly, truly, or indeed. So, that word certainly is the first psalm, as you can see. So it is, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, so a good way to read that would be, and he gave certainly apostles. Did you see that? Yeah, he gave truly apostles. He gave indeed apostles. Not that he selected some people before time that you'll be an apostle. Okay, so the apostle, right, the teaching, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, which are teachers, they are offices that believers operate in. Are we together? So you would end up being called an apostle, yeah, but in the real sense, it is that you are functioning in an office. Yeah, so that verse doesn't imply that if you're an apostle, you cannot be a prophet. Do you understand? If you're a pastor, you cannot be an evangelist. Are we together? Yeah. So it says, and certainly he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists. Now, what is the reason? So the reason is in verse 12. Do you see that? Let's read verse 12 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the goal of the prophet, apostle, evangelist is for the perfecting of the saints. Are we together? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 now says what? Let's read verse 13 together again. 1, 2, 3, go. Knowledge of God. So the word there and is the Greek word kai, K-A-I. Or K-A-H-E-E, the phonetic transcription of that. Yeah? And the word and in that verse is not a word that always speaks about a conjunction of two different things, but sometimes an explanation of what has been said before. Are we together? So, if I say I am a boy and I am a male gender, or I am a boy and I am a boy and I am a man. Yeah? The and between those two sentences is not saying that there's a difference between a boy and a man. Right? I am a boy. I mean I am a man. My name is Joshua Yusuf. So when I say Joshua and Yusuf, it is Joshua, I mean Yusuf, or Joshua and YBJ. So Joshua and YBJ are not two different people. So it's Joshua, I mean, which is that is. Are we together? So look at it again. Now it says, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge. So it's not saying unity of faith is different from knowledge of the Son of God. Did you see that? So till we all come to the unity of faith, I mean, did you see that? I mean of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Are we together? So the end goal of the ministry gift is so that you are not tossed around by false doctrines. Are we together? So we have ministry gifts to equip you as offices or people function in the offices of ministry gifts to equip us so that we equip others. That's why it says for the work of what? Ministry. Are we here? Look at 2 Timothy 2 quickly. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Look at what Paul says. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me, amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall teach others also. Are we together? Does that look like what happens in Matthew 28? Does that look like what happens in Matthew 28? What did Jesus say in Matthew 28? Go ye therefore and make disciples. Right? So, for Matthew 28, who is the first faithful man? Oh, okay. Okay, look at it again. Look at 2 Timothy 2, 2, right? And the things that thou hast heard of me. So, who is the of me in Matthew 28? Jesus. Did you get that? So, the of me in 2 Timothy 2, 2 is Jesus in Matthew 28. So, Jesus is saying, the things you've heard of me, commit to faithful men. Is that going into the world and make disciples? Yeah, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the goal of learning is to teach. Please, that's important to take note of. The goal of learning is to teach. So in as much as you are learning not, so you don't learn to teach. You know there's a difference. Let me allow you to finish writing that, right? You are to learn knowing that there's an assignment to teach. It's different though. Learning to teach means that you listen to what I say, pick all my verses, pick all my examples, pick all my use of words, and replicate it while you are reading it maybe. Or if you are very intelligent, you can say it without reading it. But if they wake you up from the night, you might not really be able to explain what does Ephesians 4 say. Are we together? So, you are a disciple who will learn not to teach, but you will learn because you have a goal. Or in your learning, you will find out that you are to be a teacher. Praise God. Look at what Paul now says to Timothy in few verses. 2 Timothy 2, the same chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 15, it says, study to show thyself as approved unto God. The word there study is the Hebrew, is the Greek word that speaks about being diligent. The word they study is being diligent. So, it speaks about being diligent. So, be diligent. Yeah, he uses it in 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. The same word, do thy diligence to come unto me. So, study to show thyself as one who is approved of God, a workman. The word there, workman, is a laborer, a toiler, a farmer. So, you remember that teaching? Yeah, Jesus is the ark farmer. Remember that? Yeah? Jesus is the ark farmer. Some of you don't remember. Now, let me tell you something that make you remember. You know, God is not a vegetarian. Do you remember that one? Yeah? So, God is the ark farmer. God is the chief agriculturist that is involved in the farming of sowing the seed. Remember that teaching, right? Beautiful. Yeah? So, if God is a chief farmer, it means that we are farmers. We are co-laborers. Are we together? So, the disposition of a farmer, or, you know, like theologians will say, the word here, rightly dividing, is a word usually used for, like, people in the medical profession who have to, maybe people who want to perform a surgery.
You know, they have to be careful where they are cutting. That should be the attitude of the believer. You rightly divide. You carefully handle. Not buruburu to the answer. You know what buruburu is? Buruburu is the Greek way. Hallelujah. It is the Greek way of saying sharp, sharp. And you know what sharp, sharp is? Yeah, it is a Nigerian way of saying quick, quick. You know what quick, quick is? It is the, yeah, in Christ way. So, it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, a student cannot afford to be careless in Bible study. Did you get that? We cannot afford to be careless. The word is also used for minors. Who are minors? Those who bring precious diamonds from the midst of rocks or from the midst of nonsense or the midst of dust or dirt. So he says, study to show thyself approved. A laborer that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Yeah? So being ashamed, will it be in the study or in the preaching? A laborer who needed not to be ashamed. Preaching, right? Do you understand? So, it is study to show thyself as one who is approved, and you are not to be ashamed of preaching that. Did you get that? So, Jesus says, go into the world and preach the gospel. What is preach the gospel? Teach all nations. What is teach all nations? Make people disciples. So, who is a disciple? A disciple is one who listens and learns. A disciple is a student who listens and learns. Who listens and take notes, jot notes, and also ask questions. A disciple is one who studies or someone who sits down or someone who sits to learn. So, when you go back to the next, when you go to that same 2 Timothy, you go to the next chapter, you see what Paul now says again. He says something very interesting. You know what he says? He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Check 2 Timothy 3. Right? So 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. It says, and that from a child, is that what's in your Bible? Yeah? Thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures. Right? Holy Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, right? It can't be Genesis to Revelation because Paul is just writing this letter right now. Yeah? So thou hast known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee what? Wise. The word there wise is skillful. Yeah? Unto what? Salvation. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He now says, all scriptures are given by what? Inspiration of God. Verse 16. And they are what? Profitable for what? Doctrine. The word that profitable is advantageous. So, advantageous for doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching. Yeah? He now says, for reproof. The word there, reproof, is the word assurance. Yeah? It's used in Hebrews 11. Faith is the evidence. All together. So faith is the evidence. So reproof. Yeah. He now says for what? Correction. The word there, correction, means to rectify or to straighten up or to realign. Then he now says something again. He now says for instruction in what? Righteousness. The word there, instruction, is training. So it means that as saints, when we are going to train ourselves, we will train ourselves using the Holy Scriptures. Because that is the goal of Scriptures for training. Are we here? Can we start this seminar now? Can we start now?
Yes, sir.
You are making look as if we have started. We've not started now. Everything we have been saying is something we've been saying, right? So, look at Matthew's Gospel 15, verse 9. Matthew's Gospel 15, verse 9. Matthew's Gospel 15, verse 9. See something very interesting in there. It says, but in vain, Matthew 15, 9. But in vain, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. Did you see that? In vain do they worship me. So what is the vain worship there? The teaching of the commandment of men. So can you see teaching is worship? Now let me ask you a question. Were they worshiping? Were they worshiping? Were they worshiping? Was their worship in vain? How do we know it is in vain? Jesus tells us they were teaching the commandments of men. So it means that worship is first in doctrine before singing. I'll say that again. Right? Matthew 15, 9. So, worship is first in doctrine before singing. Singing is just an expression. Yeah, you know, in this part of the world, or generally, we've adopted the cliches of praise and worship time. Hallelujah, praise and worship time. Praise the Lord, it's time for praise and worship. After you finish singing, you just say, I have made you too small in my eyes. Think about it. Is it not insulting enough that you made him too small in your eyes? You are now still confessing it. It is ridiculous alone that you've made him too small in your eyes. You are now confessing it and asking for mercy. Oh, glory to God. When you now finish, everybody just clean their tears. Are we here? Uh-huh. Everybody say, uh-huh. 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 Where's your handkerchief? Correct. My Calabar people, where are you? What is that one they used to say before they say yay? They are the ones, yeah? Yay. Are we together? So when they say, what are you just doing? You say, with worship, want to praise. You know, want to praise, want to get into the air. You say, bring your dancing shoe. And really, dancing shoe, you know, sometimes you speak in figurative statements, but when they say, put on your dancing shoe, a lot of times you remove your shoe. Praise Jesus. Glory to God. Yeah, so we think that worship, praise, and all those things about, you know, you see, worshiping God. You see, when you find yourself in situations that, what do you do? Just sing. You know, it's interesting to know that no portion of the epistles teaches that worship is a weapon. There's no portion. Jesus did not teach it. Paul did not teach it. Peter did not teach it. Jude did not teach it. Peter did not teach it. Who again wrote the epistle? John did not teach it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not teach it. James did not teach it. So how we came to a conclusion that worship is a weapon? Praise God. Well, so the point is that Jesus says, in vain do they worship in teaching. So so true worship is found in true teaching. Did you get that? True worship is found in true teaching. True worship is found in true teaching. True worship is found in true teaching. Oh, praise God. Praise God. The revelation of God's truth floods the land. Amen. Praise God. And so, true worship is found in true teaching. In true teaching. You might want to lay your hands on the series we did on praise through the lens of Christ. 2 years or 3 years ago, 2018 or 2019. 19, right? So we explained what worship was or worship is. You know, we explained what worship really is and what praise is. And we said praise is about speaking well about the worship that has been accepted. You know, spoke about how worship was always done in the Old Testament books by bringing something. Yeah, nobody worshiped without bringing. They worshiped by bringing. So that's why you see, yeah. So the wise men took 3 gifts. Right? So you don't know why we're laughing. Praise God. Yeah, so the Bible doesn't teach that there were 3 wise men. Yeah, the Bible says wise men went with 3 gifts. Right? So they went to worship in the fact that they brought their gifts. Are we together? So we now see how Paul now tells us we are the true, you know, circumcision that worship in what? Spirit. Yeah, so all of that, but that's not for this series. So true worship is found in true teaching, true doctrine. That's why you see what happened to Jesus. Luke 24, verse 24. Bible says, certain of them went to sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Oh, check the Bible, yeah. O fools and slow of heart to believe. Luke 24:24. I'm 25 now. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. He now says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things that ye see, and to what? Enter into his glory. I'm beginning at where? Moses. I'm beginning at where? Moses. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, where did Jesus reveal himself from? Where did Jesus reveal himself from? Scriptures. Scriptures. So it means to find the accurate knowledge about the person of Jesus, you would have to go through scriptures. Is that true? Let me ask you a question. When Jesus called them fools, what was his responsibility after that? It was to make them understand what they were foolish about. Yeah, the word they're fool just really means people that are not thinking deep. Are we together? So, what did he want to make them, or what did he use to make them on fools? Scriptures, writings of Moses and the prophets. Are we here? Are we here? So, it means that Jesus would have given them the best teaching about himself. Please, this is what I want to say next. Dear saints, if I was Jesus who died, right, and I resurrected, what is the best way to prove to you that I'm alive? Look at me! But Jesus disproves that. He makes us see that the best way to see his alive is not by looking at him, but looking at the scriptures. Can you get that? Can you get that? They were physically looking at him. And to prove his resurrection, he didn't say, see where the nail entered. You see that man that flogged, his hand is painful. The king went like, he said, see the man. Did he do that? No. So to prove his resurrection, he went to scriptures, which is only Genesis to Malachi. That's instructive. That's instructive. And Bible records in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, 3, 1 to 3. Until the day, you know, which he was taken up by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you see in verse 3, it says that he kept teaching them for 40 days. Hi. Dear saints, let me ask again. If I died and resurrected, what is the easiest way to show you that I'm alive? Just say, look at me. Now, let me ask another question. How many minutes will it take you for you to believe me by looking at me? Instantly. But what did Jesus do? Do you know what he was doing? He was trying to show that the instant belief is not as authentic as the scriptural belief. So what did he do? Beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded. So go back to Matthew 16, verse 13. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Verse 14. Okay, look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So let me ask you a question. Where do you suppose they were answering from? Scriptures now. Yeah, where do you have Elias? Where do you have Jeremiah? Where do you have the prophets? Scriptures. All together. So when Jesus now says, Simon Peter in verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Now look at verse 17. Let's read verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Where do you suppose Peter got the answer from? So what is the Father in heaven that revealed? It's scriptures. Are we together? It's scriptures. What other way did Jesus reveal himself to the disciples? Scriptures. Okay, so hold on. We'll find out something soon. So he says, flesh and blood had not revealed. What is he saying? It means sense knowledge did not reveal what you said, but an appreciation of those which the prophet had said, or that which the prophet said over time. Are we together? So that means for Jesus to say, who do men say that I am? It means that it's important to know who he is. Are we here? It means it is very important to know who he is. Let me say this. God is more eager, as it were, to be reveal himself to you than you want to know him. I'll say it again. God is more eager than it, as it were, or God is more eager, so to say, you know, to reveal himself to you than how eager you are to know him. God is more eager to reveal himself to you than how eager you might possibly be. That's why today you have 66 books. Hallelujah. The reason you have 66 books, just to reveal a person of God.
You didn't get that?
Your 66 books in your Bible is to reveal what? The person of God. Look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 31. Jeremiah 31. Verse 34. 31, sorry. Let's read Jeremiah 31, 31 together. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament book, so. Well, people are closer to Revelation. Because I say God wants to reveal himself. Some of you will get it when you get home. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 33, 1, 2, 3, go.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their heart and write it on their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Does that sound like God wanting himself to be known? Does that sound like God wanting people to know him? So it means that God is not a mysterious being. Selah. God is not a mysterious being. So, look at it this way. Right now, we know him because he reveals himself. Are we here? We know him because he reveals himself. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. So, the prophecy of Jeremiah that I will be their God, they will be my people. Hebrews now tells you that that has been fulfilled. Yeah, Hebrews 8. Yeah, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, would that be in scriptures? Right? So, as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Please see verse 10. Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So it means that the mystery of God, or God being mysterious, is only found in the heart of unbelief. When he says, I have not seen, is it your eye? You know, we use that verse for, praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. See, that one is for yourself. Pray, praise the Lord. That's one for God. You say, That one is for pastor. Who gave you the permission to judge? He said, I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul. Someone will say, now to your testimony. He said, that Lord I'm serving is good to me. Children of God, what God cannot do cannot exist. You know, it's different. You know? So, you know, says, the testimony God gave me this week, what I has not seen, rather. What ears has not heard. Hey, tell me you want to know. Say, tell me. I say, tell us. God supplied me with a mysterious car. Remember, this 2021, no? What I have not seen. You now go outside. You now see Suzanne. You now see one car. The one that's a car that you bought seventh hand. You know what seventh hand means? You've had six owners before you. And seven is the number of perfection. You're not the perfect man to buy that car. Yet I had not seen. Talk more of here. How are they here? In 2021, who is buying Suzanne? Is that Suzanne? Some of you don't know what Suzanne is. You can't know Suzanne. They had not seen it. Your ears are just hearing. But it says what? But God had revealed. So it means that that which I had not seen has been revealed. Are we together? So we're not in the dark again. So I had not seen is not for the believer. Are we together? So you can't stand in front of fellow believers and use First Corinthians 2 to talk to them. You are not admonishing them. You are insulting them. They are laughing. It tells you, but God had revealed. We have the revelation of God right now. God is more eager to be known than you want to know him. He now tells you, how is he revealed? He says, reveal them by his what? Spirit. So God reveals himself, right? And now we are not in the dark. But before you can actually find out, you need to be a diligent student. Say, I give myself to study. Beautiful. So it means that we will see God as a savior. Are we together? We will see God as a redeemer. Are we together? We will see God as a healer. Are we here? You know, it's interesting to know that. So this is backtracking to our previous seminar. Right? By stripes we are healed. We've cleared that, right? By stripes we are healed is not physical healing, right? Yeah, so back to that. But you realize something, that all the healings that Jesus did, Jesus did not heal a single saved person. Did you get that? So what did God, so it means that God wants to actually reveal himself to those who might not even be opening their eyes. God healed everybody. God healed through the person of Jesus, right? None of them was born again. Are we together? So we see that Jesus is a miracle worker, but the miracles of Jesus is to point to the miracle. Are we together? I'll say that again. All the miracles of Jesus were to point to that miracle, one miracle, the miracle of the resurrection. John will tell you at the last chapter of his book. That's why we say there is no miracle on earth apart from the miracle of resurrection that is unique to the believer. See, we just said it now. Everybody Jesus healed were not believers. So we want to see, what is that miracle? The miracle of the what? Resurrection. So what happened in 3 days? We are just starting. It means we are going to examine the incarnation, the crucifixion, the death, his resurrection, and by extension, the ascension. I'll say that again. We're going to examine the incarnation. We're going to examine the crucifixion, what we call the death, right? We're going to examine the resurrection. We're going to examine the ascension. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's start. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. See, my eyes are seeing. My eyes are seeing that which God has done in Christ. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read that collectively. Ha ha ha. Oh, glory to God. Genesis chapter 3, verse what? 15. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So it means that the seed will bruise. Are we together? Let me ask you a question. Can a seed on its own bruise? How many of you have seen an orange seed? Yeah? Can an orange seed bruise anybody? Can you see that if you intelligently read Genesis 3:15, you realize that a man is involved. Are we together? Look at it. It says, thy seed will bruise thy head. So it means that the seed of a man will bruise. It's obvious he's talking about redemption. Are we together? He's always talking about a work that will be done by a man. So, from Genesis, we see that Moses lets us see the promise of a seed. So, there was a promise of a seed made to Adam and Eve. Are we here? Oh, let me ask. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Who were the only species of mankind available? Adam and Eve. So it means that this promise in Genesis 3:15 will be to Adam and Eve. Are we here? Look at Genesis 4. Genesis 4 verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. How did he know her? Did he exchange pleasantries, right? Yeah? And she what? Conceived. That's the real knowing. Amen? So every other no point is a type of... Okay, yeah, so... And she bore who? Cain. And said what? So Eve thought that Cain would be the man from the Lord. The promise of the seed, right? So he says, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Right? And she bore his brother Abel. So when you read the story, who killed who? So when Cain killed Abel, what now happened? It dawned on her that, hey, this child is an assassin. The real Assassin's Creed started from Genesis chapter 4. So what our brothers will say is shock. Ah. So she said, Cain, I've begotten her from the Lord. When he now saw that the Cain she begot killed the second man she begot, he said, so is assassin, so is a killer. Follow attentively, right? Look at verse 25 of Genesis 4. So clearly that will mean that she knew it wasn't Cain. Are we here? Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam exchanged pleasantries with his wife again. Are we together? And she bare a son and called his name what? Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of who? Abel. Who slew Cain? Whom Cain slew? So you see this? Eve on her own. She gave birth, not on her own. With Adam. Right? The first person Cain, she said, your name is Cain, for the Lord had given me. She gave birth to another one, Abel. She now said, Cain killed Abel. She now said, this was an assassin. Don't go there. So what is she waiting for? Waiting for the promise of the seed. Are we together? Then she gives birth to another child. Who is the child? Seth. Are we together? Then what did she say about Seth? See it again. He says, for God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. So it means that at a point in her theology, she had thought that it was Cain. Then she later thought it was Abel. Did you see that? She had thought it was Cain. She now thought it was Abel. But when Cain killed Abel, she said, I'm alone in this world though. She now gave it again to who? Seth. And she now said, so she now thought that Seth was the replacement for Abel that was killed. Are we here? Are we here? So she thought that in place of Abel, Seth was to replace Abel. Let me ask you a question. Replace Abel as what? The seed. You are there. Are we together? So the promise of the seed, we see Cain, we see, so she thought it was three people. First Cain, then Abel, then Seth. Are we following? Now look at verse 26. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Are we together? Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So, to call upon the name of the Lord will mean what? Oh, I'm coming from where we started. Matthew 15. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrine, commandments of men. So it means that teaching false doctrine, something against. Are we together? Yeah, so the next seminar will be around Antichrist. Amen? So the next seminar is going to be, the first one this year was faith healing. Now, what happened in 3 days? Next one will tilt towards Antichrist. Right, who's the Antichrist? Are we waiting for one big giant? Yeah, Antichrist just really means against Christ. Are we together? Just like antivirus. So that which fights virus is an antivirus. So what is Antichrist? That which fights the teaching of Christ. So Antichrist is on earth already. Okay, so back to this, right? So he says, and they began to call upon the name of the Lord. Look at Joel 2 quickly. Joel 2 verse 32. Joel 2, 22. Joel 2, 32, sorry. This is Joel, a prophet. He says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Are we here? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Are we together? So it means that calling upon the name of the Lord is to bring deliverance. So it means that when you see Genesis chapter 4, when it says Seth and Enos and the generation began to call upon the name of the Lord, they call upon his name to bring what? Deliverance. What is deliverance? The promise of the seed, which is to bruise the head. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, verse 15. So, from Seth's generation into Enos, you started seeing the activity of calling upon the name of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. So, when it says in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her what? Seed. Did you get that? Right? Did you get that? Did you get that? And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Really, it's the same thing, but we'll look at that subsequently. Now, remember, the seed will have to take a man's form. Did you lose that? Did you lose that? The seed will have to take a man's form to operate this work of a bruising. So it means that the promise of the incarnation of Jesus was from Genesis 3. Are you here? The promise of God in the incarnation of Jesus has been from Genesis 3. So let's look at how the four Gospels records that. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. Right? We've done a series on the seed. Right? John 12, 24 says, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Who is the seed? Jesus. Right? Luke 8, 11 tells you the seed is the Word. So the seed is the Word which was in the beginning. So in the beginning was the Word. Are we together? If you want to begin a new plantation, a farmland, what do you need to start? You need seeds. So Jesus is the seed which is the Word that exists in the beginning. So in the beginning was the Word, into bracket seed. Did you get that? Yeah? And the Word, into bracket seed, was with God. Right? And the Word was God. Are we together? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Verse 4. In him was what? Life. Verse 14, look at verse 14 quickly. It says what? And the seed was made flesh. Is that true? Is that true? The seed was made what? Flesh and dwelt amongst us. Dear saints, can we say the seed as promised in Genesis 3:15 was made flesh? Yes, sir. Are we following? So the seed was made what? Flesh. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. How many of you used to jump from verse 1 to verse 16? And Rachel beha Boaz, and Boaz beha Obed, and Obed beha David, and David beha Shalom. Oh God, leave this world. Where is Jesus? I see Christ and him alone. I see him seated, my death is made. Are we together? So, look at Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of what? Jesus Christ. So it means that the essence of the genealogy of scriptures is to end at Christ. Did you get that? I'll say that again. The essence of the genealogies of Jesus was to end with the birth of the seed. So, that which Adam and Eve were looking forward to as Cain, then later Abel, then later Seth, all those assumptions and everything was to end where? With the person of Christ. Are we together? So, you now read verse 2, verse 3, and Solomon begat and everything. Let me jump it. Right? Verse 16. I see Christ alone. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called what? Christ. Look at verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the carrying away into Babylon are what? 14 generations. And from carrying to Babylon to Christ are what? 14 generations. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Are we together? Before she came, they came together, she found out she was with the child of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Child of the what? Holy Ghost. So, the essence of the genealogies found in scriptures is to end or be summarized in the person of Christ. So, look at 1 Timothy quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 4. 1 Timothy 1 4. 1 Timothy 1 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Are you together? The word there endless is the word that means to go beyond. So, neither give heed to fables or that which goes beyond genealogy. So, goes beyond which genealogy would that be? Christ. Are we together? The word there and is the word kai. So, neither give heed to fables, I mean endless genealogies. So, Paul describes those who teach endless genealogies as false teachers, if you read that in context. So, it means that the incarnation of God in Christ marks the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise of the seed. I'll say it again. Please take note of that. Galatians 4, 4 to 6. Galatians 4, 4 to 6. Before I say what I said, I'll say it again, okay? But let's read Galatians 4, 4 to 6 quickly. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Let's read together. Galatians 4, 4 to 6. 1, 2, 3, go. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might. Please hold on. Please hold on. We started by saying that there was a promise to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and 15 about a seed. Eve thought that it was Cain, then Abel, then Seth. Then Seth gave birth to Enos and they started calling upon the name of the Lord. We saw in Joel that what the solution of calling upon the name of the Lord is to bring what? Deliverance. You are following. Beautiful. Right? So it means that when the promise of the Son shall come, or when the promise of the seed comes into flesh, the goal of that is to bring deliverance. Paul now tells you, he says, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, to what? Redeem. What is redeem? Deliver. Are we together? So it means that the promise of the seed is for a redeemer and a deliverer. Are we following? Are we following? It says to redeem them that were under the law. So it now says to receive the adoptions of sons. Verse 6 now says, because he has sons, God has set forth his spirit into our hearts, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. Are we together? So I'll say what I said again. The incarnation of God in Christ marks the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise of God in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. That's the promise of the seed. The incarnation of God in Christ Jesus was to mark the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise of God from Genesis. So it means that if God promised to be a deliverer or a redeemer, it means that he will put on flesh. That means his incarnation is part of the job. Did you get that? His incarnation is what? Is part of the job. Romans, look at Isaiah 7:14 quickly. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This is Isaiah before Jesus, right? Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall what? Conceive and bear a son and shall be called Emmanuel. Is that a prophecy that is in that is in collaboration with Genesis 3:15? Promise of the what? Of the seed. All together. So, why do you suppose Matthew says that Mary was with the child of the Holy Ghost? It means that the descendant of Jesus was directly from God. Say it again. It means that what? The descendant, God's descent into humanity is what you see in the person of Jesus. Are we together? So Jesus is God's descent into humanity. John 1 tells you, go back to John 1:14. I'll say it again. God's descent into humanity is what Matthew calls a child of the Holy Ghost. John 1:14. Let's do a quick study on John 1. Please follow attentively. Okay? Will you? Okay. John 1:14. And the Word was made what? Flesh. And dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his what?
Glory.
His glory. We beheld his what? His glory. Go back to chapter 1. In chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Right? And we said the Word is the seed. Is that true? Is the Word the seed? Is the Word the seed? Is the Word the bread? Remember that teaching. Right? Is the Word the bread? Is the Word the wine? Is the Word the water? Did you get that? Is the Word the rock? So we're going to explain what Moses said by, I will cover your eyes and hide you in the cliff of a rock, and you shall see my back. Show me your what?
Glory.
So please, what we want to do right now is a James Bond movement. But everything will be clear as long as you what? Follow. So permission to say, if you don't understand, it means you don't follow. I'm joking. So in the beginning was the Word, right? That word there, beginning, is what you call in the Greek, enache. So E-N-A-R-C-H-E. What you call Bereshit or Reshit in Genesis 1. And it's a word that implies the foundation of Genesis. Are we together? So in the beginning was the Word. That means at the Genesis or at the foundation was the Word. The word there, Word, is the Greek word logos. The word there, Word, is the Greek word logos. And it's a word that deals with a concept or a reasoning fact, a reasoning system. Are we together? Logos. Are we together, right? Now, he says, and the Word was with God. Now, the word there, with, yeah, is the word pros. Right? It's not used as we use it today. I am with your money. The word there, pros, is the word that means in view of, or towards, or in regards to. The word there, Word, I'll go back again, beginning, enache, right? Genesis foundation, Word is logos, concept, reasoning. Yeah, the word there, with, is in view of, with regards to, or towards. So it describes the same entity. So, and the Word was towards God. Did you see that? What again do we call the word with?
In view of.
So replace in view of in that second phrase. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in view of God. Did you get that? Right? And the word, another word you said is with regards to. And the Word was with regards to God. He now tells you the next line. He says, and the Word was what? God. Look at verse 3. He now says, all things were made by him. Are we together? Now, the word were made is a single Greek word in the Greek. Ginomia. Ginomai. Ginomai. G-N-I-O-M-A-I. Yeah? Ginomai. G-I-N-O-M-A-I. And it's a word that means to exist. So it means all things existed by him. So it means that in Genesis chapter 1 of Moses, that came into existence by what? The Word. Are we together? In him was what? Life. And the life was the light to men. So what is John making you see here? That this Genesis chapter 1 is not about the stars and the moon. Because the God that said, let there be light, is a light of men. Are we following? Are we following? So, Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. We refer to what? The light of God, which is His Spirit, that hovered over the face of the deep. Have we taught that? Yeah? So the reason why this series is coming handy now is because we have done about 25 tracks laying foundation on Genesis chapter 1 to 3. Are we here? Beautiful, yeah? So He now says, the light shineth, look at verse 5. Verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6 now says, there was a man sent from God, whose name was what? John. Which John is that? John the what? Baptist. Now, let me ask you a question. Were there prophecies about John the Baptist before he came? Malachi 3. Malachi 3 verse 1. So Malachi as a prophet says, Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. Malachi 3 verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So when he says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is the messenger? John the Baptist. Are we together? So it means that you must read the context of tithe in Malachi 3, starting from Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, and even Malachi chapter 1 verse 1. Not for this series. Are we together? So go back to John chapter 1, where we were. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe, but he was not that light. Did you get that? Did you get that? Verse 9. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. The word there true, you see, the word true light is the word alethinos in the Greek. I'll spell it for us. A-L-E-T-H-I-N-O-S. Alethinos. And it's a word you use to compare between the temporary and the eternal. Alethinos. Alethinos, right? A word used to compare between the temporary and the eternal. You can write this for cross-reference. Luke 16:11, John 4:23, John 6:32. I'll say it again. Luke 16:11, John 4:23, John 6:32. Yeah? That's the word true. Where you see the true worshippers, the conversation, and the true bread, John 6:32. Do you understand? The word true is the word alethinos. It compares between the temporary and eternal. So it means that that was the true light. It will mean that John is comparing that which is eternal and that which is temporary. Where will your attention point to? The light of the moon or the light of a person? Beautiful, you are following. Now go to verse 14 quickly. And the word was made flesh. Is that the seed? Is that the seed was made flesh? Is that the seed was made flesh? Is that the bread was made flesh? Is that the wine was made flesh? Is that the rock was made flesh? Is that the meat was made flesh? Yes, 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 yes. For my body is meat. Hallelujah. So he says that what? The word became flesh. Now let's look at that quickly. The word there, flesh, is the Greek word sarx. S-A-R-X. S-A-R-X. S-A-R-X is a word which speaks about human or natural. So, and the word became flesh. It means that the word became human. Did you get that? Natural. Did you get that? What you call man. Are we together? So, and the word became flesh. That means the word became a man. That means the seed became a man. What is the next thing in your Bible? And what? And what? Now, the word dwelt is the word kino. S-K-E-N-O-O. S-K-E-N-O-O. Skino. And it's a word that speaks about to tabernacle or to live. To tabernacle or to live. The word dwelt is the word skino. It means to tabernacle or to live. Let me ask you a question. Who was the first person to speak about tabernacle in the Bible? Moses. So it means that God, Moses speaking about tabernacle, your attention should go somewhere. Jesus says, if you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, John 5, because he what? He wrote of me. So Moses' tabernacle was to teach the Israelite that God will indwell man. That's important. Moses used this tabernacle to teach the Israelites that God will indwell man. What I want to say will make sense shortly. Moses uses the tabernacle to teach the Israelites that God will indwell man. Let me now ask you a question. The indwelling of God in man, is it going to be a process? Be careful before you answer. Moses uses tabernacle to teach about the indwelling of God in man. So it means that God will indwell man on the long run. Let me say it again. The indwelling of God in man, will it be a process? To come to the fulfillment of the indwelling of man, will it be a process? Yes. I knew you would get this one. A process that starts with what? Incarnation. So it means that the incarnation of God is a very vital part of our Christian faith. Are we together? What did John say? And he dwelt amongst us. The next thing he now says what? Look at it into bracket. We beheld his glory. Right? The word here, beheld, is the word that means to look attentively. We beheld his glory means the word we beheld there means to look attentively or to look upon attentively. Now, let's begin our series. The word there, glory, right, is the word doxa in the Greek. The word beheld is to look upon attentively. The word there, glory, is the word doxa. And the word doxa is the word that speaks about splendor, wealth, magnificence, magnificence, you got it, right? Just add it. Right? Majesty. Power, authority. The word their glory is the Greek word doxa. Now let's go to Exodus 33 verse 18. I'll say it again. The word their glory is the word doxa. Is the word that speaks about splendor, your wealth, your riches, your magnificence, your majesty. I won't bite my tongue. Now let's go to Exodus 33 quickly. Verse 18. Look at verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. Let me ask you a question. Who is the first person you see that phrase, use thou hast found grace in my sight for in the Bible? Noah! Okay. We'll look at that when we're investigating Noah's flood. Right? Now, he says, verse 18. Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go! Exodus 33, verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. What is the word glory in the Greek? Doxa. What is glory? What are those words? Now check your Bible. Magnificence, right? Majesty, splendor, wealth, power, authority. So when it says, show me your glory, is that show me your wealth? Yeah? Is that show me your splendor? Is that show me your authority, your power, your might? So the word there, glory in the Hebrew, is the word kabod. So in the Hebrew, I was saying I'll teach us how to write, but I've not done it. So what you need to do is just go back to where you wrote glory, doxa, and put another dot and say kabod, Hebrew, put bracket HB. Just write glory, .. What do you call .? .? Yeah, when you write glory, .. You write doxa into bracket GK. GK is Greek, into bracket close, .. And kabod into bracket HW or HB, Hebrew. I want to get that. So, show me your glory. That means show me your affluence. Show me your wealth. Show me your majesty. Let me ask you a question. At this time, do you suppose that Moses has witnessed miracles? So, it means that the glory that Moses was asking for was not the glory of miracles. I want to get that. You can read when you get home, Exodus 16, verse 4, verse 5, Exodus 13, verse 21. Exodus 16, verse 4, 5. Yeah, you see the miracle of the pillar of cloud. Is that not a miracle? You see the miracle of feeding. Is that not a miracle? So Moses, having seen miracles, said, show me your glory. Are we together? So Moses had seen lots of miracles. Now, what was God's response in verse 19? And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Are we here? And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy unto whom I will show what? Mercy. So I will make my goodness to pass before thee, will be explained as being gracious and merciful. I will make my goodness pass before thee. What does it really mean? I will be gracious and be merciful. Now look at verse 20. And he said, thou cannot see my face, or thou canst not see my face. For there shall no man see me and live. The word there, face, is the Hebrew word panim. And if you followed our series, you understand we explain it in Adam and Cain's story. The word there, face, is the word panim. P-A-N-I-Y-M. And it's a word that speaks about appearance or presence. So when you say God drove Cain out of the presence of the earth, of the face of the earth. Are we together? Are we together? So God drove Cain out of the face of the earth. The word there, face, is the word appearance or presence. Which is what you call God drove Adam out of the Garden of Eden. Which is the presence of God. I will explain in the series that to drive away was not an action of God, but an action that was a repercussion for Adam's conversation, Cain's conversation. So when the Bible says God drove Cain out of the face of the earth, when did Cain give birth to his children? On the earth. He didn't go to Mars. So it's figure of speech. So that same word, panim, is what Moses uses in his writing, Exodus 33. He now says what? Thou can't see my face, my panim. That means my appearance. Did you get that? My appearance, my face, my appearance. The word therefore, for there shall no man. The word therefore is the word K-I-Y in the Hebrew. And it's translated as when or then. When or then. Are we together? So, God spoke of a time where he will be seen. Please take note of that. So, remember he has already told you, I will show you, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. What is his goodness? His goodness is his grace. Are we together? Did we say that already? His goodness is his grace. Is that his mercy? So his goodness is his grace, that is his mercy. So when he says, there shall no man see me and live. Now, what is he saying? I will be seen, but not at this time. Let me ask you a question. Is this in tantamount with, is this in correspondence with the seed promise? Let me help you. Remember we said what? I will be seen, but not at this time. What was the promise in Genesis 3 verse 15? It says what? The seed of the woman shall bruise. Did the seed bruise at that time? No. So Eve was thinking it to be that time. That's why she thought it was Cain, then Abel, then Seth. So can we say that the promise in Genesis 3:15 is really that I will be a seed, but not at this time? That means you will see me, but not at this time. In seeing me, you will see me as the seed that will bruise. Are we together? So that's the restatement of the incarnation that Moses wrote in Genesis 3. Now, look at the next verse. He now says, well, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. Are we together? And I will cover thee with my hand, and it shall come to pass, rather, verse 22, while my glory passeth by, then I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Are we together? And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass. And I will make, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. What is face? Shall not be seen. Presence, appearance. So can we see the appearance of the seed? Do you get that? The appearance of the seed of Genesis 3. Are we here? So look at that again carefully. Now let's go back a little. The word there, live, in verse 20, there shall no man see me and live, is the word chayar. Chayar is the word that means to cause to live or to keep alive. Chayar, speaking about eternal life. So Genesis 3:22, you can see that when it says that if you eat of the tree of life, thou shalt live. Chayai. Genesis 2:9, God put two trees in the garden. Yeah, the tree of life. So God's promise for man was what? Life. Did God promise man death? Did God promise man death? God promised man what? Life. Please follow. So God, if God promised man life, God cannot be saying to Moses, if you see me, you will die. Are we here? I said again, God cannot be saying, if you see me or when you see me, you will die. So seeing God physically, will it result in death? It's not hard to see. When Jesus put on flesh, did anybody die for looking at Jesus? So let me ask you, seeing God physically, will that result in death? It will be life. Please follow. Please follow. All together. So, look at, so a good way to read verse 20 will be, then shall no man see me and not live. Because the promise of God is life, not death. So God cannot say, if you now see me, you will die. Because we have seen that we have seen him, nobody died by seeing him. Did you get that? Did you get that? So I'll read that again. And he said, thou can't see my face, yet for then, or then shall no man see me and not live. Remember, we've established from the beginning that God was telling Moses that I will show my glory to mankind, but not now. Did you get that? Did you get that? The next two verses will make sense to us now. Look at verse 21. Behold, there is a place by me. The word there, place, is the word room. It's the word room, or what you can use as locality. The word there, place, is the word room or locality, what you call dwelling place. What scripture does that remind you of? John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. So, is the let me say it this way. In the places in God's Father's house, is it a by or a in? Is it by my Father's house or in my Father's house? So it means that the place which you bring a promise in Exodus 33:21 cannot be by but in. So look at it again. So he says, and it shall, verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place in me. Is it coming alive? So there is a place in me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. So what is Moses teaching? Moses was teaching a place about a place in the Father for man to dwell. Because he says, I will put you in the place. Oh, in case you have not seen it, look at the next verse, verse 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth, that I will put thee in a cleft of the what? Rock. Are we here? Are we here? And will cover thee with my what? Hand. Dear saints, what did Jesus tell Peter upon this? Oh, so are you getting it right now? So can you see the rock started from Moses? Are you following? Are you following? Yeah? Who is the rock? Jesus. Look at First Corinthians 10 quickly. First Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers. Is that about Exodus? Is that about Exodus? Our fathers, there is he your father. Beautiful. So it's the fathers of the Israelites, right? And all passed through the sea. Did you pass through sea? How many of you have walked through sea here? In the resurrection. Verse 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the clouds. And they did eat spiritual meat. Now let's read verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So who is the rock? So upon this rock I will build my church. Who is the rock? Christ. So when Moses says that we hide you in a cleft in the rock, who is that speaking about? A place. So the cleft will be a place in the rock. Did you get that? Exodus 33, sorry. He says, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. The word there, cleat, is a word that means to create a space or to bore a hole. Yeah? The word there, cleat, is to bore a hole. So, can we say, I will put thee in a space of the rock. Did you get that? Did you get that? I will put you in the cleat of the rock. I will put you in a space of the rock. Now, the word there, look at that word again. Verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place
in me.
You've gotten that, right? So there's a place in me. In my Father's house, there are many places in me. You get that? In my Father's house are many mansions. So it means in my Father's house are many cliffs. Did you get that? The word there, house, is my Father's house, is the word household. Yeah? So in my Father's household, so it means that God will live in numerous people. Are we together? Are we together? So look at now, let's pay attention to what we want to see next. It shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass. Please, someone should quickly come. Brother Tim, quickly. Look at this. This is story in your mind, right? I will put my hand in your eyes, and I'll be doing like this. But I'm not doing like this. You will not see my back. You're laughing at yourself. Are we together? Look at it. If I don't want this brother to see me at all, what's the best thing I will do? Don't be like Peter. So if I do like this, the best way, if I don't want him to see me at all, is what? Okay, don't look back. Okay, don't look back. Are we together? So, we have thought that when you do like this, God will now be doing like this. And I'm saying, don't open your eyes. Don't look off. See my back. Please sit down. So, now, the word there, cliff, is to what? A space to bore a hole. Now, it now says that I will put thee in a cliff of rock and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass. Think about it very well. You will be put in a cliff and you will now be covered. You saw somebody's hand. Did I say that one? Are we together? So, let's backtrack a little. The rock, is that Christ? Can we say that's the rock of salvation? Is that the rock of salvation? Remember, Jesus told us in John 5, 46, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. John 1, 45, Philip finds Nathanael and says unto him, behold he whom Moses in the law spoke about, Jesus Christ. So when he says, rock, your mind should go to where? Christ. Are we together? So I will cover thee with my hand, will be what God does in salvation, in Christ. Please, it will make sense shortly. Now, the word there, cover, is the word that means to shield or overshadow. The word there, cover, it means to shield or to overshadow or to clothe. So, the word cover is to what? Overshadow. So, read that line again. I will put thee in a place, or I will put thee in a cliff in the rock, and will overshadow thee. Is that the work of God in salvation? What's the word overshadow again? To cover. Did we say that? So, to cover. So, what is he saying? He's saying that the rock of salvation, which is the resurrection, in that rock, man will be overshadowed. Are we together? Man will be overshadowed or will be covered. The word there, cover, also is shield. So it means that in that rock, God will build a shield. Are we here? Have we gone? So I will cover thee with my hand is what God will do in the resurrection. In the rock, which is the rock of salvation. Take note of two things. There was a word hand in verse 22. Look at verse 23. And I will take away my hand. Are we together? Would that be figurative? Let me ask you a question. Let's backtrack. Genesis 3 verse 15. The promise of the seed. How would the promise of the seed first start? It will start in the flesh as a man. If Moses had seen God in Exodus 33, it means that who is that person that came in John 1? If Moses saw the back of God in Exodus 33, it means that the fulfillment of Genesis 3 was already fulfilled there. Hold your hands. Go to John 1:18. Look at John 1:18. John 1:17. John 1:17. John 1:17. Are we there? John chapter 1 verse 17. Are we there? John 1:17. For the law was given by what? Moses. So the word they're giving is the word offered. Hello? Are we here? So the law was offered by Moses. He says, but grace, that is the reality, came by Jesus. Verse 18. What does verse 18 say? Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But Moses said he will see the back of God. In case you're not sure, look at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. Which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath what? We are going no more. We are going no more. Better let's finish it now. Yes? He says, who hath what? Immortality. Dwelling where? Which no man can what? Whom no man hath? Nor can? Did he say, except his back? No man in John 1:18, does that include Moses? No man in 1 Timothy, does that include Moses? Go at Exodus 33. Let's look at a few words there. So, verse 23, it says, I will take away my hand. That means the result of taking away my hand is that he shall see my back part. Look at verse 23 again. I will take away my hand and thou shalt see my back part. Are we here? So it means that when God takes away his hand, figuratively, you will see something. Are we following? So the removal of the hand in verse 23 will make Moses see a back part. Let's look at the word back part. The word back part is the Hebrew word achor. A-C-H-O-R. Achor. Anyone that fits you. Is a word used for the rear of a thing. What is the word back part? The rear of a thing. To see ahead. Dear saints, if you are looking at the back part of someone, are you not seeing ahead? For you to see my backpack, I have to be in front of you. Look at it again. So he says that I will take away my hand, and the result of that is you will see my backpack. Let me ask you a question. So come, for instance. Remember I covered his eye. Right? I covered his eye. Remember the word backpack. Sorry. The word backpack is not about the back of a human being's body. So the backpack means to see about the rear. Are we together? Or to see ahead. If I do like this, right? And I say, when I open my eyes, you will see. And you see my backpack. What does that mean? It means you will see ahead what I will do. So what is that conversation about? It is about how Moses saw ahead the fulfillment of the promise of the seed. Oh, okay, hold on. What is he seeing right now? Is he not seeing ahead? Yes, sir. We've established that Moses did not see any part of God. Because God never took on flesh. How could they have possibly seen God? Physically? No! The first time you see, he will be held his glory. Is in John 1:14. And the word became flesh. No other Bible verse tells you that God became flesh before John 1:14. Are we together? So the back part of God that Moses was to see was really to see ahead what he will do in the fulfillment of the promise of the seed. You will see my back part will only make sense if God was dealing with Moses physically at that time. Did you get that? Look at it. For you to understand that John 1:17, it says no man has seen God at any time. The previous verse, before no man has seen God at any time, whose name did he mention? That means he didn't forget Moses. Did you get that? That means it's not like Moses keep his mind. It's not like Exodus 33 left his mind. He said Moses offered the law. So if he says no man, does that include Moses verse 17? He cannot exclude him. So it's not Nollywood. Children book, a yellow book, that makes you see that, oh, God, don't open your eyes. Moses now be trying to look. You know how children always want to look inside the hand that is open? Don't open your eyes. When Moses started like this, that disobedient.
I feel like you see what I'm saying.
Remember, to see your back, if it will be literally, means that God was already in the flesh before John 1:14. So if God was not in the flesh before John 1:14, Exodus 33 cannot be literal. Are we here? So my face shall not be seen will mean that he will not see the glory at that time, but he shall see the glory ahead. That is to see his backpack.
Are we together?
So, what was Moses asking to see? Show me your
what?
So, what is show me your glory? Show me your wealth. Show me your presence. Show me your
power, authority, your splendor. Are we together?
So when he says, thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen, it means that my coming into the fullness of glory, starting from the incarnation, will not be seen at this time.
Are we here? Go back to John 1:14.
Did I help you a little there?
Yeah. Beautiful.
So what is Moses is hid in the cliff of the rock? It means that the man that is found in the rock of salvation will be overshadowed by God's shield.
For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head.
So the shield that God supplies upon salvation is the covering or overshadow that God supplies to the cliffs created in the rock. So there are many cliffs in the rock, which what John 14 tells you. In my father's house are many mansions. Can we say many cliffs? Did you get that? So what was Moses talking about in Exodus 33? Show me your glory. It means that show me the beginning of your what? Well, your splendor, which will start where? In the incarnation. John 1:14. He now tells you, he says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Look at what John makes you see in the bracket. And we beheld his what? Glory as the only begotten of the Father. What does it mean to be begotten of the Father? It means that you are an offshoot of the Father. Dear saints, what does Matthew 1:16 tell you? Mary bore a child of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? So we beheld his glory means what? We saw him in the flesh. Now, we beheld his glory. Is that talking about us? Did you see him in the flesh? So it means that the testimony of John 1:14 in bracket is unique to those people that saw him. Are we together? So when he says, I will beheld his glory, don't put us as we. It's not a common we. Are we together? So we beheld his glory. That will be an exclusive information to the apostles. Look at 1 John 1. Look at 1 John 1. The same John now tells you. 1 John 1, verse 1 to 4. In the beginning was the word. Oh, right, sorry. That which was from the beginning. Let me ask you a question. Who wrote the book of 1 John? Who wrote the book of John? Who wrote the book of John? Who wrote the book of Revelation? John, right? So, what does John start with? John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word. What does John start with? 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have what? Which we have what? Seen with our eyes. Have you seen with your eyes? So, that information of that which we've seen was unique to John and the apostles that saw Jesus. Did you see that? Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it, bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, that is with his Son Jesus Christ, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be what? Full. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. I'll begin to round up here. Somebody say before uncle.
I saw your heart.
Say before uncle. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel that which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. Look at verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if you keep remembering that which you preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Let me ask you a question. Did they see that Christ died? Was that a fulfillment of the scriptures? But how did they know that his death was for our sins? According to the scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Are we together? So it means that a vital aspect of our Christian faith is the fact that God put on flesh. Go back to John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld the glory, that is the glory of his only begotten. Now, the word there, only begotten, is a singular Greek word. Let me help you with that. Monogenes. M-O-N-O, mono, genes, G-E-N-E-S, monogenes, only begotten, monogenes. It's a word that speaks about a unique birth. So it means that the birth of Jesus was unique. Is that true?
Yes.
Beautiful. So it now tells you that the only begotten, so he was the only begotten first in the incarnation. Then he became the first begotten upon resurrection. Did you get that? Did you get that? He was the only begotten in the incarnation first. That was the beginning of his entering into glory. That is the beginning of his tabernacling into men or in men. Then upon the death and resurrection, he became the first begotten from the dead. So, who is Jesus? Look at verse 18. For the law was offered by Moses. That's the word they're giving, didomi, to offer something. He now says, but grace and truth came. That word came is the word genomai. Have I used that word here today? What does genomai mean? To exist. Did you remember that? To exist. Right? So, and the word, or rather, for the law is offered by Moses, but grace and truth came into existence. By who? Jesus Christ. He now says, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten which is in the bosom of the Father. The word there, bosom, deals with something that is close to the heart. He now says, he had declared him. The word declared there means to reveal or to explain. So Jesus is the explanation of God. So the incarnation of Jesus was the beginning of God's explanation of himself to man. I'll say that again. The incarnation of Jesus was the beginning of God's explanation of himself to man. The incarnation of Jesus was the beginning of God's explanation of himself to man. So the very first thing God is going to do after the fall of Adam was to be done by himself. So Adam did something wrong, but God took the responsibility to put everything back in the right. Let me ask you a question. Jesus in the flesh, was he a full-fleshed man? Was he a full-fleshed man? Did Jesus eat? When he was hungry, was he saying? Disciples will now come, what is your master doing? He's feeding. But he's not a ruminant animal. Did Jesus sleep? Jesus was helpless. It's not that he was helpless. It was as though Jesus was helpless. It's not that he was helpless, but he chose not to lambano. That is to take upon himself his eternity as God. Did you get that? I'll say that again. For every time he saw, let's end in Philippians 2. That's the first ending, remember? So, when Jesus was praying, did he cry? The angel strengthened him. That means Jesus at some time or at some point in his life needed strength. Look at Philippians 2, verse 3. See what it says. It says, let this mind be in you, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God. Are we together? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what? A servant. Was made in the what? likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now God has highly what? Exalted him. Are we together? So it means that Jesus was 100% man. Let me now say this. To deny the humanity of God in Jesus would be to deny the entire fact of the gospel. I'll close here.
Don't worry, I'll close again.
I'll say that again. To deny the humanity of God, yeah, will be to deny the entire fact of the gospel. Because before the resurrection and ascension, there must have been an incarnation. So you cannot say, I believe in the resurrection, and you don't believe in the incarnation. I'll say that again, don't worry. When Jesus was carrying his cross, did somebody have to help him? Did he say, cross, take on your leg, follow me? Did he do that? He carried it. For someone to help him, it means that he needed help. If you see someone carrying cross and you go and help him, it's because everything around his body disposes it, or his body has a disposition that he needs help. Are we together? Imagine I'm carrying this. You know what God said? Let me help you. Are we together? So he carried the cross. Look at 1 Timothy 3. That's a semi ending. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What did he now say? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into what? Glory. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in a later time some shall depart from the faith. What will be departing of the faith mean? Now disproving the fact that Jesus was in the flesh. Did you get that? He told you, he said, without controversy. The word there, without controversy, means it is a common confession of our faith that Jesus was in the flesh. You cannot disprove that reality of his. So God became man. He laid aside his privileges as God in order to die for man, in order to be the fulfillment of the seed of Genesis 3:15. So the humanity of Jesus is God's humanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus came in the flesh first to show, and First Peter tells you, we have a written example left for us. So it means that Jesus in the flesh is an example of what God's man ideally should be. Did you get that? So Jesus before the crucifixion is God giving mankind an example of the man in Christ. Acts 10:38, who went about what? Doing good. So it means that Jesus is the chief example layer. Did he pray? Is that an example for us? Did he fast? Is that an example for us? Did he heal? Is that an example for us? So God's humanity, or the humanity of Jesus, is God's humanity, the man in God's image. Are we together? So it means that everyone was acting as a function of their will in the death of Jesus. However, prophecies were being fulfilled. Are we together? So, what was God doing? God was using man's sin, man's wickedness, man's denial, man's betrayal to justify man. Are we together? I'll say that again. God was using man's sin, that is man's wickedness, in the fact that you see they killed him, man's betrayal, to justify men, because the act of his incarnation in the flesh and the suffering is part of the what? Ascension. So, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So, the men could see God in the flesh. Hallelujah. So, it means that in our Christian faith, we cannot deny the very existence of God in the flesh. Are we together? So the promise of the seed to in Genesis 3:15, it began when? In the incarnation. Let me say better. The fulfillment of the promise in Genesis 3:15 began in the incarnation. Are we together? It is first incarnation. Because think about it. So that's why I was saying, the Spirit expressly speaks in chapter 4, verse 1. Yeah? You cannot depart from the moment you start saying that Jesus does not become flesh. So imagine saying, I believe in his resurrection, but I don't believe in his incarnation. You have indirectly abused yourself. Because what did he resurrect as? Spirit. So the incarnation of Jesus is a vital part to our Christian faith. Tomorrow we're starting by 12. We're going to start looking at the death of Jesus. Why did he have to die? Take note of this. Tomorrow we explain this. Adam was made with a biological life, and the life was so that he would be able to make a choice to choose between mortality and immortality. I'll see you tomorrow by 12. Have a good night.